B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High fly ball. That's deep. Down the right field line.
Oh, my God.
Way deep into the corner. That ball's gone. Not much doubt about that one at the crack of the bat. That makes it 6-3. Again to center field. This one's going to keep on sailing up onto the batter's eye, and that is gone. Back-to-back home runs for Toronto to make it 6-4. Swung on a miss, but here comes the run. It gets underneath Vasquez. The run scores. Guerrero down a second. That'll make it 6-5. Hit sharply off the glove. It's into right field. Here comes Hernandez. Betts scoops. He will on fire, and this ball game is tied. Well, right now, he's got to throw one. And he could not do that. And that's going to force in a run.
That is brutal.
Here comes Biggio in to score. That is the third consecutive ball four by the Red Sox bullpen. It's 7-6. 3-2 on Vlad Guerrero Jr. And he misses downstairs, and another walk. And another run is forced in.
That's four straight walks.
Yeah, this is as bad as it gets.
I hope everyone enjoyed that on Saturday. Oh, my God. What an epic, epic meltdown. That is it. That is the biggest, most dramatic meltdown that the Red Sox bullpen has had this season. That's it.
Say we're up 6-1?
6-1? The Blue Jays had one run at the time, and the Red Sox were up 6-1 going into the top of the seventh inning. Yes. 6-1 going into the top of the seventh.
What's Tyler Thornburg coming? He can help you. Go back to, hey, because it's almost that time. Go back up. We almost have to reset 1 year ago to the end of July when Dave Dombrowski said, well, we know what Tyler Thornburg means, and we're down at camp.
Wow. Oh, God, I love the moans of my echo underneath.
What a complete disaster that was on Saturday for the Red Sox bullpen. And the Red Sox dropped 2 of 3 over the weekend to the Blue Jays, who are absolutely terrible. They suck. The Blue Jays are a terrible team. And their bullpen is a mess.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox, I don't know how much longer they could just sort of ignore this problem. Because I don't know if it feels to everybody else, but it feels to me they just want to sort of ignore this problem. It just feels like Dave Dombrowski just kind of want to ignore it.
It's like you're going to out-hit
it. Like it's going to fix itself.
Tyler Thornburg is throwing the ball extremely well.
Oh, of course he is. He always is. Tyler Thornburg is always throwing the ball well. That clip will never die on this show. Don't ever let that die, Tom. Don't ever let us delete that clip. Don't ever let that go. What? What the hell? What are they going to do? What are they going to do with this bullpen? They've got to add to it. And now there's talk of a possibility of Nathan Eovaldi, when he makes it back, going to the bullpen, which would mean they're now in need of another starter, too. So you're going to add him to the bullpen, which means you then need help in your rotation.
It could be like the Rays and do the opener thing.
Oh, don't do that to me.
They already do that, don't they?
Right?
Don't.
Hector Velasquez a few times, Brian Johnson now.
They already sort of do that because they've got garbage.
Brazier has thrown the ball great for us.
Don't. Do you know what I find absolutely ridiculous? As Zoe said, that he heard the Red Sox were had turned the corner.
I asked somebody during one of our long bus rides in Israel, hey, what are you hearing back home? Like, one of the guys there's works for ESPN locally, and he's like, yeah, I heard the Red Sox are playing unbelievable right now. Turned the corner. They're hitting full stride. Then you take off, and then you hear what happened over the weekend. Here you are again. You're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. Problem is, trade deadline's coming up.
Well, you know, turning the corner does feel a little strong. Christian Vasquez said after the Red Sox swept the Orioles last week, after you were gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to last weekend.
Yes.
He declared that the Red Sox were back after the Red Sox swept the Orioles.
Bold statement. Sweeping the Orioles, we're back. Did you sweep the Yankees? Did you sweep Houston? Did you sweep anybody else other than the Orioles?
They lost those series, yeah.
He declared that they were back.
That's sad that a player on this local team that, hey, has been here and understands what winning is, thinks that you sweep that team, you're back.
Well, not only that, they'd also, I think, dropped 4 of 6 at that point, wasn't it? Or I have to go back and look at
whatever it is. But, I mean, I think they won 5 of 6 while I was gone, until I took off. And then that debacle happened over the weekend.
Because they had dropped... They dropped 3 of 4 in that Tampa Bay series, and then you know what? I think they split with Texas, right? So they weren't exactly lighting the world on fire
right
before they went into Baltimore, and then they won 3 in Baltimore, and it was, we're back.
Yeah.
You're back? You're back after sweep? And then you're like, okay.
Let me just
point this out right now. When you have a losing record at home, which they now have.
This is amazing to me.
They have a losing record at Fenway Park this season, and their bullpen is as wretched as it is right now, and you lose 2 of 3 over the weekend to the Toronto Blue Jays. Don't tell me you're back. Don't do that again.
When Peter Abraham is upset and not defending the team, you're in trouble. Like, at this point, all of last year, I think they had 4 blown games with leads after the 7th inning. They already have 7. Of those now, he said. 7. It's not going to get better unless they...
They are 4-9 in their last 13 games at home. And in the middle of that...
But not to good teams.
No. Yeah, not to good teams. To, again, Tampa Bay, Texas, Toronto. You're 4-9 in your last 13 at home. And you're telling me you're back? In the middle of that...
Here's your problem.
You go to Baltimore, and Christian Vasquez is telling me... Telling us, all of us... We're back.
Right. Remember when they had the math at the beginning of the year?
Is that scary?
Yeah.
Is that scary about this team?
Because this team,
someone needs to check these guys. Like, guys, I know you won last year, and I know you had a great run, and you were really good. And so no one's questioning whether or not you know what it takes to win, but get a grip. You're not back doing anything.
Go back to the beginning of the year when the manager told you about that 11-game start on the road and how much of a bitch that was. But the best part of this was, we're going to have a lot of home games at the end. You knew how we play at home. Chris Sell reiterated it. Y'all relax. We play any home games yet? Like, their expectations are going to roll it out at home. People are going to come in and be like, oh, look at this ballpark. Wow. They banged this place out.
There was a tweet over the weekend, I forget where it originated from, but Red Sox since April had a better record, you know, if you take the sample, than last year's Red Sox had over the same amount of games. So they had been playing well, but still, it's a lot of losses in there that make you raise your eyebrow.
They lose too many games.
It's how
to
you
bad
lose.
Teams.
It's how you lose too. It's not like you're going to lose 2-1 games and good pitching out. You lose in that style, in that fashion, and the way you lose, and who you lose to, that's what magnifies it. You're not going to win every night. You're not. That sport, it's too much of a grind.
They lose too many games to bad teams.
Yes.
And then they had one good series against an awful Baltimore team, and they treated it like it was really important, which was laughable.
That's such a joke. That's what's disturbing, because Vasquez has been here. He knows what it's like to win.
It's a disservice to themselves is what it is.
What does Chris Sell... What does Mookie Betts?
And honestly, I do. I find it a little bit scary about this team because they should know better.
Because they're
a good team. They know what it took to win last year.
Does the manager think they're back?
They beat good teams last year. They went on an epic pace of winning 108 games.
Does the manager think they're back? The one who was the bench coach in Houston when they won it came here.
He's overwhelmingly positive, that man.
Well, he kind of has to be when things are bad. That's his job. But honestly, deep down, does he think that they were back when they swept Baltimore?
I hope not.
Like, that's chalk. Right?
I hope not, but I also don't think he's the guy to tell Christian Vasquez, relax, I'm going to wear back, would you?
But that's my thing.
Like, relax.
Are David Price and Chris Sell telling Vasquez, back off that a little bit, okay? We know we're not back yet.
Come on, we still got a lot more work to do.
Yeah, don't put this added pressure on us that we don't need. Oh, by the way, Celtics are putting those guys up there. They look like they're 15. Welcome to the future. Oh, my God. They look like a junior high, like an AAU team.
Too many picks on that podium already. I can already tell you the team sucks just based on that. Too many guys at the podium. You just can't be telling people that you're back when you're getting your doors blown off at home to Toronto and you get a losing record at Fenway Park. Sorry.
I don't even need to hear play-by-play. Just give me the grunts and groans.
You cannot do it.
Give me X grunts and groans, and he could tell you how things are going. Oh. That's awful. Remy even got in on it.
They cannot ignore this problem.
Oh, they get to go to, they're heading over to Pond, right?
And if they choose, yeah, they are. That's coming up.
So that's a big one. A
couple days.
It's a big one at the end of the month.
They've got this one series with Chicago, and then they go to cross the pond. They can't ignore this, and if they do ignore it, they're flushing their entire season down the toilet.
Yeah.
They are. That's what they're doing because it's that important to this team. You've seen it. You've seen the number of leads that they have blown late in the game that have just been really, there's just no excuse for it because they could have done more in the offseason. I know it's not easy to do. They could have done more to address it. It would have taken spending a little bit more money, which I know they don't like to do, but I know they're up against it. I'm not calling the team cheap. They've spent a ton of money on the team. The roster's very expensive, which is why they want to stay where they're at. But they're going to have to make a move here. They're going to have
to. But we think realistically that our bullpen's pretty good.
No, it's not, Dave. Dave, your bullpen is absolutely terrible. It's terrible, and it's costing you games. It's cost you a lot of games. It's a major, major problem. You've lost far too many leads after seven innings this year. It's actually shocking how bad it's been. You really got to do something. It's really an issue. You can't let this go. Saturday was something else, man.
That is brutal.
The Red Sox have lost seven games.
You hear the booth?
The Red Sox have already lost seven games when leading after seven innings this year.
Yeah.
Last season?
Four.
Four the entire year. This year, seven already.
That's pretty telling.
And you've got Dave Dombrowski telling us that Steven Wright is going to help when he comes off the suspended list this week. Does he understand how ridiculous that sounds? And that's what I mean.
It's the same guy told you about
Tyler Thornburg,
how well he's thrown.
When I say it just sounds like the team and Dave Dombrowski want to ignore the problem and they think it's going to go away. Now, there has been talk of Evaldi, but Dombrowski denies that and says that they won't do that. If it does happen, though, then they'd be looking for help in their rotation the rest of the way, too. But that was really bad on Saturday. But Steven Wright's on the way. Can we get a comment on Steven Wright sometime soon? Tell me about Steven Wright again. Please. He could help. Tyler Thornburg. That's going to be our new Tyler Thornburg. Steven Wright's coming off the IL. Steven Wright's coming off the suspended list.
We need to get the old Steven Wright comic. I'm really excited about coming off the suspended list. I think about things in my head.
Speaking of Eck, you mentioned Eck earlier.
Yes.
He had a moment yesterday. You know how much I love Eck.
Yeah.
I say write the blank check, whatever it is, whatever it takes. You get that man in the booth every game.
Yep. He's, yeah.
He had a comment that surprised me on Strowman.
Oh, really?
It was critical of Strowman. Strowman, yeah, is
the showman from Toronto.
Strowman, the showman there. Yeah, he had a comment that I thought was unusual.
I've not heard this.
We'll get to it next. Yeah. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Crowd's trying to jump into it, and he struck him out. And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
Looking at the Red Sox dugout and yelling out as he skips into the dugout. 5-0 Toronto.
This happened yesterday. Wasn't all that surprising. Marcus Stroman is known to get excited out there on the mound. This is what he does. He is consistent. If nothing else, he is consistent. Marcus Stroman coming off the mound, as you heard there in the sixth inning, as he went six innings yesterday.
Did Cora have issues with him a couple weeks ago?
Scoreless innings. There's longer than that, but yeah, it's been a while. Six scoreless innings for Marcus Stroman.
That's pretty good.
I'd say so, as the Toronto Blue Jays won 6-1 and took 2 out of 3 over the weekend at Fenway Park. Blue Jays haven't had a lot to celebrate this year, but hey, coming to Fenway right now, that's easy pickings.
So what's expo?
I mean, you come to Fenway right now. Those are those, put those down as wins.
That's like us playing at Wake Forest back in the day. Homecoming. Let's go.
Right?
Yes.
Put that down as a win.
Wake Forest, NC State. Let's go.
Right?
Yeah.
Going to Fenway right now to play the Red Sox. Easy to pick up the W there. So that's what the Blue Jays have come to town to do. And Marcus Stroman gets animated, and he's banging the glove, and he's yelling, and he's getting excited. And, well, Eck was critical of him, which I found surprising, as was Remy. Less surprising there, but have a listen.
That last pitch. Yep. Big screen toward the Red Sox dugout, and then takes off of his dugout. Happy that he pitched well today. I don't know, man. If he's turning around to his dugout and screaming, I can take it. Yep. You know, but when he's turning around to the opposing dugout.
That's tired.
That's tired?
Yeah, he said it was tired. Like there's no need of it.
What did he say when Derek Lowe grabbed his crotch? When was the A's he put down there?
Forget what he said about Derek Lowe. What did he say about his own career?
Right, but I mean, he's a fiery pitcher. We all know what Eck did. He was flamboyant. He talked crap. He shot guns. See, I see what Remy's saying, because you're yelling at that dugout. When you yell, when you sit there and you pimp a home run, that's disrespectful to the pitcher. When you shout things or look and stare in a dugout, that's disrespectful to that team. I understand that. And maybe this is part of the problem, too, I think, with the broadcast. You just witnessed an implosion the day before. Now you're getting your you-know-whats kicked in. So now you're pissed because you're caught up in it. You kind of ride the wave with the team. But now when you... that's what Eck used to do.
Well, right? here's Eck from his documentary on his career talking about that very thing that he used to get called out for, which was that Eck was accused of being too animated on the mound.
I didn't like it when he would strike somebody out and shoot him as they're going back to dugout, or when he would do that thing with his hip when he would get the third out of the game. It drove me crazy. I hate him. Am I supposed to wave to the guys going, how's the wife and kids? I had a chip on my shoulder. I didn't like who I played against.
What'd you want me to do? I had a chip on my shoulder. What was I supposed to do? Wave to you? Ask how your wife and kids were?
He's not a player now. He's a broadcaster.
So you know what Marcus Stroman said after the game? What
did he say?
When he was asked about the comments?
No.
He said Eckersley's comments are trash. Also then said Eckersley is a hypocrite and a clown.
The fact he understands what Eckersley was and knows the game gives more, I'll say, pop or credence to his comments. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
See, it's one thing saying, okay, yeah, your comments are trash, but yeah, look how
so
that got.
So Stroman.
Stroman knows how he did
Stroman
it.
Stroman did it on Twitter. Stroman did it on Twitter. He retweeted the video of the Nesson. Someone put up a video, and he said his comments are always trash. And then he retweeted the video we just played and then wrote, hypocrite. And then, yeah, and then someone else had said, is Eckersley serious? Top five. D-head is how I'll shorten that up for you. A pitcher of all time going to bitch about Stroman, not now, not ever. And Stroman said, clown. I don't know. Can you call? I don't know if I don't know. Jim's not here. I feel like I need the safety net of Jim.
Jim's down at the Ed Cooley camp for everybody checking in. They're doing between the leg dribbling drills right now.
Yeah. So he called him a clown, called him a hypocrite, said that his commentary is trash. Can we disagree with Stroman? I don't know that I can.
No, but...
his comments are not always trash, by the way. His commentary is awesome 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, but he feels like he's attacked now. So
rare
he's defending
times where I watched Eck and was like, oh, Eck, come on, dude. What? Like, no.
You have those moments, man. And, Eck's a broadcaster.
This is who Stroman is. No. This is who he is. This is his deal. This is him. Stroman gets all jacked up on the mound. This is who this guy is.
He's consistent.
This is what he does. This is who you were back when you were 25 years ago. You took all the same crap that you're now giving him.
Isn't that what Cora echoed to earlier in the year? Where he's like, does it bug us? But that's the way he is. And
here's an idea.
That's how he pitches.
Don't get shut out for six innings against him. And that doesn't happen. That would be my idea. You know how I am about celebrations in baseball. All for them.
Makes the game better.
All for them. You do something.
And look at the reaction.
Oh, please.
You can't.
You pitch six shutout innings in someone else's ballpark.
Quality, great start.
You can turn to that dugout and say, hey, yeah. Shut you down for six innings. You
know, we'd like one of those starts.
Suck on that and walk away.
We'd like one of those starts here.
You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Hey.
Can't sit here and bitch about this kid when you sit there and you applaud when Derek Lowe did it.
Yeah. Or just anything. You know, when you get excited about hitting a big home run. Well, yeah, that's allowed. You're allowed to celebrate your successes. Mm. Yes, you are. Yep.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was surprised that he went after him, because that's the same exact criticism that he faced in his career. And he said, well, what do you want me to do? I had a chip on my shoulder. That's how I like to pitch. That was how I, you know, that was the mentality I like to pitch with. Well, Stroman likes to do the exact same thing. How can you get on him for that? Mm. Does he look like a psycho? Yes, he looks like a freaking psycho out there.
But
that's what he likes to do.
That's his deal.
That's how he gets into his groove. That's exactly how he likes to pitch. We've seen it from him how many times now?
Yeah.
If you went to the ballpark yesterday and you knew anything about Marcus Stroman and you knew that he was cruising through six scoreless innings, you could have sat there and said, oh, get ready for it. This guy's going to have a moment here at some point. He's going to have a moment here where he's clapping the glove and banging the glove and yelling at somebody, because this is what this guy does. Wait. It's entertaining as hell. Wait for it. Could have set your watch to it yesterday at Fenway Park.
And he struck him out.
I love it. I don't think he's having a great year, though. But yesterday, Fenway, Red Sox, 4-9 in their last 13 there. Bullpen implosions left and right, losing to bad teams, declaring themselves back, manager saying in Minnesota that it feels like last year again. All this stuff is going on with this team. Yeah, they're lighting the world on fire. Losing record at home this year at Fenway Park. Chris is in Plymouth on the Celtics. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
So, as a disgruntled freaking greed teamer and a fan of the NBA in general, I hate what's going on with basketball these days.
I like that title. And, disgruntled freaking green teamer.
You like the draft picks?
Did you like the
four draft picks they just had on the podium there? The Celtics facility?
Yeah, I care less about the draft picks.
Oh, they're gonna get ready. They're gonna give you some effort this year. They're gonna play hard.
We were just talking in the other room. And T-Bone had a great comparison. He said this press conference today feels like that Chris Humphries press conference.
Oh.
That's what it feels like.
No, it doesn't. That was the worst.
Yeah, no, it stinks. But, like, what the hell is it going to take to fix the NBA? Like, it sucks that, like, players these days can dictate more than GMs and agents can.
Yeah, like, they run it.
Do you have to, like, get rid of the freaking salary cap?
You know, the idea that it's the players controlling the league as the problem in the league is so overblown.
Then why can Kawhi Leonard do what he did in the previous 2 years?
Do you know why?
LeBron just like get whoever the hell he wants?
Because he's LeBron James.
Because it's L.A. and it's the Lakers and players want to go there. He. What do you mean?
But he hasn't played for the Lakers his whole career.
I don't understand your point. LeBron chose to go to the Lakers.
It's the Los Angeles Lakers and the greatest player in the world, and you put those
LeBron
two things
chose
together.
To go to the Lakers on his own, and then his team sucked for a year.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
What do you mean? What does it mean?
You're mad. So you're mad Anthony Davis got traded.
He's one of these guys that believes the players control too much. The players control the entire league, right?
Well, I mean,
that's what he's saying.
People sit here and think, oh, you got to wait for free agency, The thought of it is that free agency starts during the All-Star break.
There's not enough good teams is what he's saying, right? There's not enough good teams.
There were better teams in the East than we gave the East credit for this year. Yeah, look at the type of year Toronto had. Look at Milwaukee.
Okay.
You know, the
point is this. There's not enough good teams is his point, generally speaking, which is right because it's a star-driven, individual-driven league.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not enough of those guys to go around, right? Isn't that sort of the point? The problem is one guy can sort of take over over the league. There's no other league where that can happen. If you have the best player in the league in the NBA, the best guy, your team's a contender. In no other sport is that automatically true. If you have the best player in the NFL, is your team automatically a contender just based on having that one guy? Can you put crap around that one guy, the rest of the team? Zoe? Any other sport?
No.
No. In basketball, you have a starting five. You can manage it. You can get like an average roster and be a contender.
It's almost that's why it's a big imbalance
versus other sports.
And it's also why the cap kind of has to be the way it is, so you can't double down.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Don't sit here.
That was the point of his call. He's talking about the cap.
He's mad at the NBA cap, where you've got a hard cap that you need to make money match and work. And there's only so many players you can have on each team. Insane.
That's why the cap is the way it is.
It's a good cap.
Can you imagine if it was larger?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And by the way, it's dictated by the revenues anyway, so it's so that the players get their fair cut of the revenues. But still.
Well, I like the fact you could actually make more money if you stay with the team that you were at when you were at a max. You know what I mean? When you get to the supermax and all that.
Right. Believe it or not, the NBA is rigged. The NBA is rigged to try and keep you in the same spot.
Right.
They try and pay you more to not go to another team.
Tell you what, it's almost making Kawhi Leonard think about it. Think of, shoot, man, I want to stay in Toronto now, maybe.
And he might do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not a salary cap player. It's not a salary cap issue. And it's not a players have too much control issue. It's that an individual player carries too much weight.
Yeah.
Which is why there's not enough contenders. That's all. That's what it is. It's going to exist forever in that league. It's sport. It's related to the sport. Sorry. Nature of the beast. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand. So go nowhere. By the way, quick mention. You see this story with the Mets yesterday? You see it?
Which one?
Good, perfect. I'm going to tell you about it quickly next before we get back to the calls.
Sports Hub headlines.
The Red Sox welcome the White Sox to Fenway tonight. Not a moment too soon. They get the Blue Jays out of here after losing 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Yesterday's score 6-1 as Marcus Stroman shut down the Sox over 6 innings. Boston now 8 games behind the Yankees in the AL East. They're under 500 at home almost halfway through the season now. Eduardo Rodriguez on the hill against Giolito this evening. Boston Celtics introduced draft picks Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, Carson Edwards, and Tremont Waters this morning at the Auerbach Center. Let's hear from Williams. He's set to win all of our hearts over.
Well, for myself, it's really just going to be whatever it takes for us to hang the next banner here, because I'm a type of team player. It doesn't really matter what you need me to do. However, I can make an impact, whatever you ask me, whatever Coach Stevens needs. That's what I'll do.
Yahoo Sports reporting that Kawhi Leonard set to decline his player option with the world champion Toronto Raptors and become an unrestricted free agent next week. The New York Daily News reporting the Knicks, they're looking to get Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. They might get a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. According to one source, if they do not land a Tier A free agent, as they're being called, they will roll over their $70 million in cap space until next season and go for it again. So don't expect a repeat of 2010 where they lost out to LeBron sweepstakes and went for Amari Stoudemire. Women's World Cup, Team USA taking on Spain today at noon. You can check it out over at City Hall Plaza. They got a viewing party over there. They will face France, who beat Brazil yesterday, or whoever wins that match will take on France, who beat Brazil yesterday 2-1 in extra time. The Sports Up headlines brought to you by the Lowell Spinners. Check out Star Wars Night on July 13th. Well, Tony Maz will throw out the first pitch, and 98.5 The Sports Up will broadcast live. Go to LowellSpinners.com to get your tickets today. I'm Sean Silver. You can get Sports Up headlines anytime in your flash briefing, your Alexa voice-activated speaker, or again with me in 30 minutes.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife.
This Mets story from over the weekend, how often do we do an out-of-market baseball story? Never.
Well, it's the second one in two weeks.
When do we ever do this?
Remember the Tom Terrific? God forbid. Bad month for the Mets.
Yeah, but that wasn't really a baseball story. No. That was a Brady story.
Right. Boomer was all upset. He's still in his childhood in the Mets.
Newsday reporter Tim Healy had a post-game clubhouse incident after the game at Wrigley Field on Sunday. During this incident, Jason Vargas physically threatened Healy and tried to fight him in the clubhouse. I love this whole story. after Healy said to Mickey Callaway, the manager, who is on thin ice there to begin with, he's on his way out. He's going to get fired. The team's a mess. He said, I'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow, Mickey. This was after a bad loss, a win for the Cubs. Three-run homer for Javier Baez in the eighth inning. A bad loss for the Mets at Wrigley yesterday. So here's the quote from Healy. Mickey came out of his office dressed, and I thought he was leaving for the day. So I said, see you tomorrow, Mickey. And he said, don't be a smartass. And I couldn't confidently tell you exactly what he said because he started to walk away. He goes, but he looked at me and said, don't be a smartass. And he was legitimately confused because he didn't understand why the manager of the Mets was looking at him saying, don't be a smartass. Because Healy had just legitimately said to him, hey, I'll see you tomorrow, as in, I will see you tomorrow, Zoe. Like, hey, Zoe, see you tomorrow. Yeah. As in tomorrow being Tuesday, and I'll see you Tuesday.
Not as in saying, hey, maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
The manager thought that he was making a crack, as in, see you tomorrow, like you might get fired by tomorrow.
Oh, what do you mean? I thought you said I was all right.
Yeah.
It's like Goodfellas.
It's a misunderstanding.
No, I thought.
It was a miscommunication.
I thought you said I'd see you tomorrow.
I thought you said I was all right.
What's the matter, you spider, you little prick? Just like, yeah.
I thought you said I was all right, Spider. So
no, you ain't all right.
You ain't all right. I'll see you tomorrow. What do you mean I see you tomorrow?
So then Jason Vargas sees his manager.
I got his back.
Yelling at the reporter.
You're going to yell at my manager.
Yelling at the reporter. Vargas steps in and says, I'll knock you out right here.
Oh, Jesus.
And there's other reporters who tweeted it live as it happened, saying Vargas charged at him, saying, you MF-er, I will knock you out right here. Let's go. And Vargas had to be pulled off of him in the clubhouse. Because he said to the guy, I'll see you tomorrow. That's all he said, Zoe. Mickey, I'll see you tomorrow. And it nearly led to a brawl. So for all we say about the Red Sox having their issues,
yeah,
be thankful you're not some suckbag team like the Mets.
So they got it going on pretty good.
What a terrible team that would be.
At least they have a bullpen. Which bullpen would you take, the Mets or
the Red Sox right now? What a horrible situation. Jason Vargas. And then the owner of the team called the reporter last night, called Tim Healy to apologize on behalf of his franchise. Called to apologize. Isn't that sad?
That's horrendous.
And let him know that I hope you still feel like it's okay to cover the team and it's still okay for you to come in the clubhouse. And he's like, no, it's okay. It was clearly a misunderstanding. But how about that? Jason Vargas to the public relations staff member. Get this MF-er out of the clubhouse. Oh, man. Yeah, that's all. That's just the update from New York for a guy who just said, I'll see you tomorrow. Woo! Yeah, let's go to Chris, who's in Nantucket. Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Zoe?
What's up, man?
Hey, let me see you dance, Spider. Come on, let me see you dance.
Yeah. How's that?
I was calling because earlier you were talking about the NBA and who controls what, players controlling the league. Now, do you guys think it was more due to the fact that they're coming out earlier, is sort of earlier in their contract dictating where they want to go versus coming out at 23, 24 and not getting that second max deal to where they could dictate as a 23-year-old with 100-something million what they want to do? I mean, how would you figure that them doing the one and done is affecting the league now with the control that the players have?
Not that much. I mean, listen, Anthony Davis got traded, but he would have been a free agent.
Yeah.
There's free agency in every sport.
You earn that right as a free agent.
You have the right to free agency.
You have the right to choose where you want to go.
He's been in the league a long time. And L.A. wanted to give up a boatload of assets to get him there a year early. That's their right to do it.
Ask Toronto if they regret.
I don't understand how that's a player strong-arming the league somehow.
Well, look at Toronto. Ask them how they feel as a city and as an organization winning a championship, obtaining the rights for a disgruntled Kawhi Leonard. How'd that work out for them?
It worked out brilliantly for them.
Yeah. That guy might stay there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might actually Mac, you actually might like the place you play in.
Okay, that's enough baseball for the day. We're going to get to the Nick Caserio situation. Zoe hasn't had a chance to weigh in on that.
Sure.
There's also some new reports on that front. There's also some new stuff today on Tom Brady. Some thoughts on Dante Hightower today. So we've got quite a bit of football to get to in the noontime hour. If that's okay with you, Zoe.
Oh, let's do it.
Is that all right with you?
Yeah, I got some stuff on some other linebackers, too.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot of football to get to, a lot of Patriots stuff to get to coming up in the noontime hour today that we planned on doing today, and also a new rule change in the NFL. We'll get to all of this. It's all on the way here on Zolak and Bertrand.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
95, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
What do you got on Nick Caserio? What are you hearing?
I mean, I don't have a lot of Nick, but...
What are you hearing?
I'm not hearing like there's a bad split that is looming here, as some of these reports are stating. Like, he wants out. You know, he doesn't want to be held hostage, and that's a big thing because he's not free until after next year's draft.
Correct.
So, if you're a team that wants him, like Houston, he's still going to run the Patriots draft this year. He's not going to do yours. If he really wants out, like some of these reports for the Patriots, do you really want him running your draft?
Right.
You know?
That's my point. So I know you've been gone. Here's my take in 30 seconds. I believe Nick Caserio wants to move on. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's tension or a rift or a fight or there's bad blood between anybody. People move on all the time. They move on to bigger jobs.
Scott Pioli's moved on.
I think that, yeah, exactly.
Mitra, they've all moved on.
Guys have moved on from this organization in
Jason
the past.
Knight, they've all have.
Guys will continue to move on. Yep. I do not believe it's a lateral move. I believe it's a promotion.
It would have to be. And I think Bill would allow that.
I believe it's a promotion. I believe that he would have more to do there. He would have more control there. And he would he'd be making more money there, I believe.
Now, if you're trying to backdoor the Patriots on this, Belichick, it would become a problem.
I think he'd be running the football side of things in Houston. I think that Bill O'Brien would be working with him.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, he'd be running football for the Houston Texans owners. Yeah. He would. And so I think that it would be a promotion and it would be more power and he would no longer be reporting to Bill Belichick. Not that that's a bad thing. Not that he finds any issue with that because, again, I'm with you. I don't think that this means that there's any bad blood or there's anybody upset here.
Nope.
I also think that he knows Bill Belichick isn't going to do this forever, even if he's got years left to go. And Nick Caserio is much younger than Bill Belichick. Nick Caserio is in his early 40s.
Right.
He's a young man. He's got a long career ahead of him still. He's going to be doing this a lot longer than Bill is. So he wants to move on. That's okay. That doesn't make him a bad guy. Doesn't mean he hates the Patriots or hates Bill or anything.
Everybody in whatever field they work in always, always, always wants more money or wants to be elevated to a new position.
Or just wants growth or a different experience or any of that stuff. So,
and if you don't, you're just a card puncher then. You're just you're,
good for him.
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though.
What's
he
that?
Gave up that right to leave early and interview with other teams, and he did it in exchange for more money. Bert Breer had that report that in the middle of his contract, when he negotiated a raise, they put a clause in exchange for the money, you can't interview with other teams.
Brilliant.
So he is well aware of that clause. He knows it. I think he's now playing the game of trying to get out a year early. And I don't blame him for trying, but I also respect the Patriots saying, no, we're not setting a precedent of letting you walk out the door. So the easy answer here, and this is my take, I know I've gone over my 30 seconds and I apologize.
Yeah.
Trade him. Get something back. Okay, you're not letting him off the hook.
Right.
He's an asset. You're not setting some sort of new precedent. You've got to trade him. And you only do it for something that you believe is fair. And if you can't trade him because they don't want to offer something up that you believe is fair, then you keep paying him. He's your employee. But I don't know that I'd let him run the draft board next year.
They've done a nice job over the years.
I don't know that I'd
always,
let him do that.
Always sort of getting, you know, the depth and the next guy ready to go over the years, whether it was.
By the way, not that he does anyway. It's still Bill.
Bill runs it's a team here. That's the thing. He knows. See, that's the only thing I would say that if Nick really wants out, he ultimately knows. This is good news for you, New England Patriot fans, and this is why I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because that means Belichick's not going anywhere for a while.
How do you know that?
Because, as you just stated, Bill Belichick runs everything here, and nobody else will go above him. As long as he is here, he is in control of all football operations. He makes final decisions, final calls on things. Nick went to school with Josh. And if Nick knew that, okay, Josh will ultimately be the next head coach here. I have a great relationship with Josh. We work hand in hand. We got this thing up and running here.
Yeah.
It's turnkey. I'm going to continue to do it. I'm going to be given more access, not access, but more power in some football decisions because Josh is really more of a football guy instead of an overseer of the organization as Bill is, to where Bill has control of everything. So if Nick senses that Bill isn't going anywhere anytime soon, so it's not really going to be me and Josh in a year, like a lot of people assume it will be, then it's I've hit my staying power here.
Can I ask a serious question?
Sure.
Because I've heard this. You're not the first person to say this, that, hey, why wouldn't he stay if Josh is you know, someone he knows, right, and has a long, great relationship with? Who's ever picked a job based on the people that'll be working for them as opposed to the people they'll be working for?
Right. No, I mean,
I mean, maybe somebody has.
It's a fair question.
Maybe somebody has. I don't know. I just know that,
like, if he wants out.
If you're picking a job, and this could be in any field, and you can tell us, 617-779-0985. Have you ever picked a job based on the people that will be working for you as opposed to the people you'll be working for?
No. Yeah. And here's what the TOF state said. There's a shelf life.
Which one's more important?
All right.
To you. And that's, and by the way, don't read into that. I'm not saying that Nick Caserio doesn't want to work for the Crafts. Don't read into that. I'm just saying that is that how people make decisions?
I don't know.
Well, I want to stay because that guy will be working for me. Is that how people, I just don't know if that's how people would typically, executives typically pick their jobs.
Tough. I mean, I just spent a week with the big boss, and to think nobody would want to work with him is crazy. I mean, that's just like, and I know Nick has been taken care of here to where, hey, we realize we got something special here. So in the middle of your contract, we're going to give you more money, but we need something on the other side as we give you more money to protect, you know, our investment in you.
But if he's met with the McNairs down in, it's the McNairs, right? Yes.
It is McNair family, yes.
Yeah, the McNair family in Houston, and they say, Nick, we've had such a bad run with the football side of things, with the guys we've had running things, and we know how good you are, and we know you're the fit for us, and we are offering X amount of dollars, and we just want to turn this thing over to you and commit to you for years to come and let you put your fingerprints all over this thing and make it yours and give you the autonomy to do it and give you all the space you need and all the time you need. And we're not going to get in your way. And we're just committed to your vision for this. We're going to take a step back, give you a ridiculous salary, give you the space, time necessary, and we're not going to interfere. What if that happened? And he's feeling like, wow, this could be a really great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it could be a change of scenery. Guys sometimes just want to change the scenery.
Well, it's not only that,
I mentioned
too,
Theo. Remember when Theo left the Red Sox and was
shelf
like,
life.
You know what? There's shelf a shelf life for everybody everywhere.
Frank Cohn admitted that also.
You know?
When he left, yes. Yeah.
Which is so remarkable that Belichick is here still after, 19 years.
Think about it, though. Okay, so
how long he has lasted and how good he still is and how that shelf life thing hasn't really come into play for him. And maybe it has, and he's just overcome it.
You're sort of treading water and stuck in the mud, so to speak. He has a great gig here. He gets paid well.
Maybe him and the Brady thing, that was a matter of shelf life, and they've managed to overcome it.
I mean, I've been doing this with the same quarterback for 20 years. There's a young guy in Deshaun Watson I could continue to build around with him. Billy O'Brien, I've had him as a coach. You know, he's going to run a good program. You get a young, good young defense with some damn good anchors that I could add pieces and... You don't think Nick Caserio did a great job building this defense to what it is now? Sure he has. See, and he has a great relationship with Bill. I mean, they're together in Nantucket. They both own homes in the same spot. So does Scott Pioli. Scott Pioli still has a great relationship with them. You can still move to other places and still maintain a workable relationship. Just do it the right way. Now, Eric Mangini did not. And it's come back to bite him in the you-know-what. Oh, yeah, just run it as a head coach for a little bit, but sort of out of the game. Sort of untouchable. Black marked. Not now with Caserio. So, I mean, you sit there and look at it and say, I've been doing the same thing over and over, and yes, we're consistent, and we win. I know how to win now. Like, Parcells would always jump ship, because what always teased him was his ability to turn that other program around that didn't have it where he was. Sort of was like a drug to him. I want to go to places and fix it. I want to go there and fix it. I want to say I'm done, but I've got to get back in the game. That's different than Kasarius.
So do you think Kasarius wants to leave or no?
I don't know. I talked to a lot of people, and people are like, we don't hear this.
Well, there's a difference between there being a rift
right.
and wanting to leave.
But it's not, different because
they're not one and the same.
But this isn't like Nick's stuck in an office upstairs. He's there every day. He's on the field. He actually does the workouts with the players. Nick's got a hell of an arm, but
right. I see him. Man, he throws those warm-up passes. I watch him in warm-ups every week.
He's hands-on.
Dude,
he's
can
in,
sling it.
He's in the drills.
Dude,
and
can
when,
sling it, man.
When your quarterback's not around, it's nice to have a GM.
He played at John Carroll, too, right?
Yeah.
Was he a quarterback?
He had to be. Kid can throw it. I played catch with him. He can throw.
Yeah. Straightforward dude, though.
But he's hands-on with the team there every day on the field with them, not, stuck upstairs. I do know this, a guy like Austin Ford, he's groomed. He's ready to go. He could be the next guy.
Well, he could either be the next guy or he could be out the door, too.
You could lose him, too. I mean, look how many coaches you lost this year. When you win, you lose people.
Here's the other thing I wonder. Do you think fans care about this?
Yes.
Do they?
I think so.
So I had this conversation with Hardy a number of times last week.
I think fans care more about this than losing a guy like Chad O'Shea to the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, probably.
Or even Brian Flores, because we didn't really know that much. Fans didn't know that much about Flores.
I think fans care more about Brian Flores than they do Nick Kasarios.
They do now after you start blitzing.
Well, yeah, because Brian Flores, you see the results on the field in every given week, and you sort of get a feel for who the guy is and what he likes to do, and you see it.
Nick Kasarios gave Brian Flores
Nick Kasarios like the mysterious man of, what does he do versus what does Bill do, and, how much control does Nick Kasarios have, and what does Bill do versus, what's the final say that Nick Kasarios has? And I think he's important. I think he probably does a lot more than what we think he does. I think Bill has a lot of trust in the guy.
That's fair.
I think he's probably a very important part of this operation that he doesn't get enough credit.
Right.
And that might be part of the reason he wants to branch out and do his own thing.
Could be.
Because he's probably a really smart guy and wants to start getting some of the credit. And that's only natural. That's human. He wants to start getting some credit for some of the smart things he's doing as an NFL executive. He wants to step out of the shadow of Bill Belichick. That's okay. Doesn't mean there's a rift. Doesn't mean anything bad is happening. Doesn't mean there's tension. Doesn't mean any of those things. But it does mean he probably just wants to move on. Mm-hmm. And if you can do a trade, I'd do a trade because I think it's inevitable. I think he's going there next spring regardless. I don't think there's any chance of keeping him now.
Like I said, when we're down there, that's a good team. They got a good fan base. They have really stable ownership. You got a good coach. You got a quarterback, and you got pass rushers.
We went way late
here.
Whatever. We just need headlines. No commercials.
Go.
We'll be right back. Nowhere.